Well, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon for the folks in the East. This is Hugh Culver with CAPS, and I'm really excited to see folks coming on every minute now for this interview with Michael Losier. I'm really excited about this. I think we're all going to learn a lot and get pretty jazzed up. Before we get started, I want to just get you comfortable with what's going on with this series of programs and what you can look forward to, and also to remind you about the archive programs that we are constantly updating. So again, this is Hugh Culver. This is an interview with Michael Losier, the best-selling international author of The Law of Attraction. And this is a part of the CAPS Business Growth Series, which we started a couple of years ago and is growing in popularity. And it's a really great service, I think, for our members. So about every month through the year, we are going to be doing interviews, either in the form of a teleseminar like this one or in the form of a webinar, which are going to be educational-based where it's to help you to grow your business, to get inspired by what other people have done, to learn specific techniques. And what is really neat is that you can listen to these at any time. So when you log in to your CAPS website, you will see on the left-hand side business webinars, I think it's called, or business seminars. And if you click on that, you'll see recordings from Ford Sakes and Clint Greenleaf and Jane Atkinson and Lynn Edgecombe and Rhonda Victor. So those archives are always there and available for you. And including this interview that I'll be hosting today, which will be archived in about 3 to 5 working days. So now a little tip about this interview. We're using a system called Instant Teleseminar, and in your email confirmation from the CAPS office, you should have received a link to instantteleseminar.com, and then there was a / with it says event ID and then a number. And if you click on that link, it will bring up a web page for you that will allow you to enter your questions. So it would be great if you had that opened up in front of you as we start this call, and then that way you can stay in touch with us by typing as we go through the call. This is a 60-minute call. There'll be time for Q&A later on in the call, which is great. So you want to make sure that if you don't type in your questions in the meantime, that which we'll try to attend to, that you're going to save your questions for that Q&A period so that we can ask Michael and dig a little deeper with what really interests you. Okay, so that's a little bit of the sort of the logistics of the call. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael, and then we're going to get started with this call. So Michael Losier is a pretty unique guy, and I've had the real pleasure of getting to know him a little bit last week. He is one of the pioneers in the field of law of attraction as a practice. So in 2003, after delivering over 700 hours of teleclasses and hundreds of coaching sessions, he set out with his first self-published book, which of course is called The Law of Attraction, The Science of Attracting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. Since then, this Victoria, BC-based author has turned his humble starts into an international success. His book has been published in 28 countries. He's been interviewed by Oprah 4 times. He's sold over 250,000 books. He's had his own radio show. He's created his own certification program, certified over 172 people in 11 countries. He's since written The Law of Connections, and he is now working on his third book, which is called Fulfillment Needs, How to Uncover What Fulfills You So That You Can Lead Your Life's Purpose. Michael, welcome to the call.
Hey, hello, Hugh, and hello, all fellow CAPS friends and members. I know I've got some friends CAPS members on the line. I'm glad everybody rearranged their day to be here today.
That is great. Well, you know, I've got, there is so much I want to ask you, and I know there's so much that folks want to ask you. Now, you had a request, so you were suggesting you would like to have everybody unmuted. Do you still want to give that a shot?
Yeah, sure. Just for...
Yeah. Oh, I think I cut you off, Michael. Are you there? There you are. Sorry, Michael, I think I cut you off.
I'm here.
So we're going to unmute everybody. So let me try that one more time. Here we go again. There we go. Party. It's the party setting.
Yeah, very good. And for those of you that are, you need to be in an absolutely quiet room to be unmuted. If not, you can mute yourself, and otherwise you'll be there if we have questions or you want to participate in some kind of exercise or something. So
that's great.
Good. Sounds like we've got a nice clear line so far.
Really good. So I guess this sounds awfully, elementary, but, you know, could you just start with your story? I mean, you know, really it is a pretty unique story that you've got that got you to where you are today. And I know that I'm sure you would admit this is just the beginnings for you. But, you know, so, Michael, like, how did this all come about back in 2003?
Well, it is a long story. You know, I was, I'm from St. John, New Brunswick. I'm a Maritimer. And, you know, when I was growing up, you know, being an entrepreneur was kind of unheard of. You had a job, you kept it for your whole life. And I kind of broke out of that mold. And I was even different as a kid. You know, I was always positive. I was pretty sensitive to negative things. And I had a good outlook, and I didn't really have brothers or sisters that I was close to, so I kind of hung out by myself, and I was kind of an adult when I was young. So I was different, and what made me different was about how positive I was and how creative I was. So I always understood about being positive and attracting positive things, and I used to tell that to people even before people even understood. They would call it, you know, positive thinking or whatever it was. You know, this is like 40 years ago, so it was quite a different world. And then I kind of lost that dream, but I do remember taking a centerfold picture of a big conference, and I was young. I might have been like 13 years old. I think it was from my mother's network marketing magazine, and I opened it up, and I saw all the people, and I saw myself on stage, and I cut a picture out, and I did a little collage, even though we didn't do collages 40 years ago. I did, and I had my picture on it, and I had it for a really long time, and then I kind of gave up the dream. And then I went to school, and then I got a diploma in accounting, and then I ended up working in an accounting department, and then I ended up getting transferred to Toronto and took a gig out here, a working gig in Victoria, B.C., and then my whole life changed when I get out here. The energy was different. I just love it out there, the West Coast. And it is quite spiritual on the West Coast, which I would consider me and my subject to be. And in that process, I did some personal development work when I was out here. Part of my job as a project manager with the government, right? You're a project manager, you're really like kind of an adult babysitter. So I had to know a lot about human behavior and what motivates people, what turns them on, what turns them off. And so I got really interested in human behavior and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and eventually start going to spiritual centers and start understanding about law of attraction, which wasn't a lot of people talking about it. But I was a kind of a leader, you know. I'm the guy that says, someone say, hey, we should do this. I'm the guy that says, okay, when are we going to do it? And, you know, I just like to take charge and make things happen. So I started helping people kind of have better lives by teaching them about not being negative. And that's kind of a hard subject to teach, but it was the subject of law of attraction. And that was in 1998. So I'm just going to speed up, because that was kind of the history. So my background is an accounting diploma. I'm from the Maritimes. I had a closed vision about what was possible, and I'm an overweight guy living on an island not too bigger than Gilligan's Island, right, and working for the government. But on the side, I'm meeting people in coffee shops and restaurants, and I'm kind of coaching them. Now I have a reputation because I had all this training in the government work around human behavior and so on. So I kind of had a reputation of being the guy to go talk to and help flush out ideas. And what I didn't know was that I was good at that. And I was good at hearing what somebody was excited about and helping them build a business to do that, to leave their current work and, you know, actually how to make it a living, just like I did with the subject of law of attraction. And then I started to do teleclasses in 1998. I did two a week every week for a year. And I was working 4 days for the government now. I had worked Monday to Thursday. I had Fridays off. So Thursdays were my Friday nights, so I would do a seminar or a presentation. I'd go anywhere. I'd go to coffee shops and bookstores and people's basements and women's book clubs. It didn't matter. I would go, and if there was 4 or 10 people, and I would stand in front of the room to do what I really wanted to do. And I did that for a couple years. And then a speaker came to Victoria, and I went to visit the speaker on my lunch hour when I'm still working for the government, and I was inspired by him, and I talked to him afterwards, and I said, if you're still in Victoria, why don't I take you for a nice walk after work and so on and so on. He was excited about that. And I said, I really like to do what you're doing. If you can hear cannons, they're outside my house. Not at my house, but outside my house. There was a marching band about 8 minutes ago, so I thought you were going to hear that, but you didn't. So when I went to meet the speaker, over dinner, I said, so I would really like to be a speaker. And he said, well, it'll really help if you have a book. I thought, what? I'm a government employee working 4 days a week. I don't even have a book. You know, that never crossed my mind. But you know what I did have? I had a 10-inch binder full of notes that I've been doing with those teleclasses on an introductory to law of attraction. And I had file folders of coaching clients, and I had audios, hundreds of hours of audios talking about the same thing over and over and over again, and people's thank you notes and thank you cards saying, I love when you said this, and I love you did this, and I love this worksheet. And I'm thinking, well, I don't have a book, but I got a whole box of stuff. And the seminar, this is my secret ingredient, is that my Law of Attraction book was a seminar first. So I compiled all my notes and stuff from all the seminars I've been doing, and I turned a 10-inch binder of notes into a 144-page book. And that took me 2 years from deciding that I want to write a book to taking this binder of my seminar program and turning it into a book. Mm-hmm. So that brought me to the book stage. And the very first thing that I did when I decided to write the book is I designed the cover. And I put the cover on my website, and twice a week when I led a teleclass on an introductory to law of attraction, I would send everybody to that website to pick up the class notes, and there was a link and a picture of the book cover that said, click here to be notified when the book is ready. And in 1 year, I collected 2,500 names, and I got my book printed in Canada, in Winnipeg, Mennonite printers called Friesens. Highly recommend them. They called and they said, your books are ready. We're going to ship them Thursday, and it's COD. Now, remember, I'm still working for the government at the time. You know, I had a credit card with no money on it, and I said, that's going to pay for the shipping. They called me on Monday. Monday night, I sent an email out to 2,500 people that asked about the – and I had bought 5,000 books. That was my first order. I sent the email out to 2,500 people. I offered them a two-for-one special, two books at no discount, plus a $15 CD, and they got it for $40. And I sold 5,000 books overnight. I woke up in the morning, and I pressed my email, and it was like streaming video. I thought it was a bug. I mean, really, I kept saying, you have a sale. You have a sale. And it was scrolling, and it went on and on and on and on. As a matter of fact, it went on more than – so I sold more books than I had. So I get all my friends together, and we get envelopes, and now I'm stuffing books. And I knew it would be successful, but – and then after people start to get their books, about three and four, and then it was quiet, right? I had a couple more trickle in. And then by the time people start to get their books, and then they were ordering multiple packs. Oh, I want to, can I get that two for, can I get that two book special again? And can I get a box of 10? And how many are in a box? And there were 75 in the box. Now people were buying my book by the box. And that's how my book became successful. I did teleclasses on it for a year. I used all those teleclasses to help build a really solid process, so because you only have one time to do it right. So I practiced it for 2 years, made it right, and let people know it was coming. Just a little side note, the book I've been writing all of 2011, it's called Fulfillment Needs. What did I do? January 1st, I got the cover designed. I put it on a website called fulfillmentneeds.com. I've done 12 teleseminars in 1 year with over 100 people in each class. I walked them through the process, different class every month, different group every month, and I changed the content and the process dramatically from the first call to the last call. And what I basically did was design a seminar on the fulfillment needs unfoldment process and turned it into a book. And I have 6,000 names today of people waiting for me to let them know when it's ready. Say yes if you love that. So, key number one, do the book cover first. And what if it changes? Big deal. Who cares? No one's going to beat you up. At least have it out there and send people to it. So my goal is when I go to the publisher to sell this book, I can say, I have 15,000 people waiting to buy this book. And, of course, when it comes out, I'll send them all to Amazon without any big program. You know, everybody sees the big programs. Mine won't have a program. Mine will say my book's being released on Amazon on Tuesday, and it's 30% off, period. My book is good enough not to have a $10,000 package for you to go buy it. Everybody hear that?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. So, and that's going to be my strategy. So, about this book fulfillment needs.
And so where are you at now, Michael? I mean, you've got, you know, the Law of Attraction is still selling, obviously. You are, you know, you have it in 28 countries. Where do you put your focus? You know, you've got two books. You've got, I'm sure, many followers. You've got a new book on the go. Like, you know, sort of when you get up in the morning, what do you think about it? And where do you
focus? Well, you know, this is going to be a different call because I'm a different kind of guy. People haven't met me in person. I'm a little bit different. But you know what the goal is? The goal is to feel good. Mm-hmm. And every decision I make has to feel good. I'm so selfish, I only do things that make me feel good. Selfish meaning self-care. So everything that I plan and everything that I do, I literally don't have to work again. I sold 2 books. They're in 28 languages. There's copies selling every 3 or 4 minutes. But what do I work for and what do I have so many projects on the go for? Because I'm fulfilled by them. Why am I fulfilled by them? Because they meet my fulfillment needs. See how important it is to understand what your fulfillment needs are? And when you know what your fulfillment needs are, then you can do those things that you need to do, become fulfilled. And when you're fulfilled, then you experience joy. And then everything's easy after that. But I'll just give you the big picture for this year, just kind of what my life. And I've tailored it this way. There was a time that I was traveling every week, and I was going to churches. And my message is quite non-denominational, church-friendly. And I'd be going to spiritual centers and bookstores and, you know, law of attraction groups. And I mean, I traveled a lot. And I did it for free because I didn't have a working visa at the time. So I was going all throughout the States and doing stuff for free and having bookstores sell my book. But I did it. Whatever it took to do it, I did it. And, I forgot my point. What was your question again?
Well, I was, you know, what you focus on now every day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for your
So, very good. So here's my big year. So I took January, February, and March off, and when I say off, I mean no airplanes. I'm home in Victoria for 3 months, which is a blessing in Victoria. If you're going to be anywhere in the winter in the north part of Canada, it's pretty nice here, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I took January, February. At the end of March, for 3 days, I'm doing my certification program in New York City. I have a goal of 50 people to take that. I have people registered all over the world that are coming in to take my 3-day certification. So now my new rule is when I go travel in the city, I'm going to stay twice as long and have a vacation while I'm there. That I didn't do that before. I'd go in, go to the airport, get scared, go downtown New York, check in at the hotel, don't leave my room, and then so on. And now I have a policy. I bring somebody with me, sometimes my mother, sometimes my sister, sometimes one of my friends that doesn't have a traditional job that wants to come to New York or wherever. And I stay for 2 or 3 extra days, and I always take the red double-decker bus and get to see the whole city, so I'm not rushed. So my new model is international cities or big cities and stay double the time that I'm there to work. So I'm going to be in New York for 3 days. I'm going to Hong Kong to do a big seminar in Hong Kong. I'm going to Indonesia and Malaysia and Louisiana and Los Angeles, and these are all seminars that are hosted by other people that – they put on a seminar to bring me to their city. Because remember, my book's in so many countries. So my little motto that I learned from Harv Eker is get in front of somebody else's room. So that's what I do. It's rare that I organize my own seminar. I just get in front of other people's rooms, and they have me come in and do that.
Nice.
And then I'm ending the year in October. I'm going to Malaysia for 40 days. And I'm doing 8 countries, and I have a team in Malaysia that are certified law of attraction facilitators that took my training about 4 years ago. They run a law of attraction center in Malaysia. They host me once a year. So we're going to Hong Kong, Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand, and we're doing that in 40 days. And then we're ending that whole tour in Singapore with my certification program. So we're going to travel Asia doing my certification training program, or the one-day seminars, and then we'll feed people into the certification program. And I've certified 80 people in Asia so far. Listen to this. 50 of them were from the National Bank of Malaysia, who certified their trainers all across the country to teach Law of Attraction. They bought 250,000 books and rolled out the Law of Attraction program to 250,000 employees, and it took them 1 year to do it. Now you know why my book's in the number 10 position in Asia for 3 years, and I don't have to do anything.
Wow.
I know. It's just, and people call it magical, but you know what it really is? It's really deliberate. It's been done deliberately through the vibes that I'm sending and deliberately practicing Law of Attraction.
So I want to talk about that because obviously that's your core message. You know, I mean, you're clearly successful as a businessman and you're very savvy as a marketer, but at the base of it, it's about what you write about. You know, I want to know, and I think our listeners want to know, is so what is it you do that really gets the law of attraction into action for you, because clearly you're attracting some fantastic connections around the world that are really serving them and serving you at the same time.
Yeah.
So I know there's a whole, you know, it's 144 pages, but
yes.
What is it that CAPS members should be doing?
You know what I'm good at? I'm good at explaining it in really simple terms.
Okay.
And I tell people that, and because it's true, I can make a complicated subject easy. So here's what law of attraction is. It's all about vibes. You and I use the word vibes all the time. We'll say we pick up a negative vibe, or he's giving off a negative vibe, or she's giving off a positive vibe. When we use the word vibe, we're really describing a mood or a feeling. So I could say, wow, I'm getting a negative vibe from her. I'm getting a negative feeling from her. So the word vibe really means moods or feelings. And, of course, the word vibe, it's only a four-letter word, actually comes from the longer word vibration. Ooh, there's a scary word. Not too many people use that in business. So we actually have vibrations. And what are vibrations? Well, they're vibes. What are vibes? Vibes are moods or feelings. So here's my first skill testing question. When do we have moods or feelings? Well, right now and right now and right now and right now. Right now we all have a mood or a feeling, and there's only two kinds. It's either negative or positive. There's only two kinds. It's either negative or positive. And right now you and I have a mood or a feeling. If I had a handheld vibrational meter reader, I could put it in my hand and point to myself, and it would be pointing to one of the vibes, which is negative or positive.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot not have one of those feelings. So right now, what I'm observing, what I'm thinking, what I'm daydreaming, what I'm pretending is causing me to have a mood or a feeling. Right now, I'm sending one, and that means I'm sending a negative or positive vibe. You're thinking, big deal, so what? Why do I need to know about that? Well, it's called the law of attraction. And it's this universal energy around us right now, and I can't prove it to anybody. I can't put it in a petri dish. I can't put it in a test tube. I can't put it in a scientific jar and say, Hugh, this is law of attraction. Do you believe me now? And I tell people at my training seminars that my job isn't to convince you that law of attraction works, because I can't prove it to anybody. But my job is to give you the tools so you can practice it yourself and get results, and you'll tell yourself this: I believe it now. So would that be okay? I know the answer is yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here to convince anybody that law of attraction exists. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, it's here. So you might as well listen. You might as well hear what it's all about. And I'm going to give you some tools that you can use today so you can stop attracting the things that you don't want. Maybe those cumbersome gigs that you're trying to set up, or the chasing of the phone calls. And the sad news is everything that you're attracting is matching the vibration that you're sending. It's like, what? I'll say it again. Everything that you're attracting is matching the vibration that you're sending. And you're not even sending it on purpose, but law of attraction is energy around us, and it has a job description. You know, when I worked for the government, I had a 21-page job description, and the very last thing said, and anything else we want you to do. 21-page job description.
That's hilarious.
Okay, great. Thanks for laughing. That's a funny one when I'm doing seminars, so I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it. So, yeah, but the job description for law of attraction is only two words long. That's what makes it very unique and easy. Imagine a job posting and say, law of attraction job description, and the description is two words long. Here's what they are: match vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a robot. Here's a vibration. What do I do with it? Match it. Here's a vibration. What do I do with it? Match it. Here's a negative vibration. What do I do with it? Match it. You see, law of attraction is this universal energy around us. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have a conscience. It doesn't decide. It's not a decision maker. It doesn't know whether it's good or bad for you, or whether it's healthy or not healthy, or whether it's positive or negative. It is obedient, and it has one job, is to unfold and orchestrate whatever needs to happen to match the vibration that you are sending. That it's job. I hear people say, oh, well, let the universe figure it out. Guess what? The universe doesn't figure things out. It matches things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the universe is testing me. Guess what? The universe isn't testing you. It's matching you. at the end of the day, everything that you're attracting is a result of the vibration that you sent before it, even if you're in denial of having sent it. I know you don't put on your bathroom mirror. I attract people that play phone tag forever. I attract contracts that are difficult to negotiate. We don't have that on our bathroom mirror. But if you're experiencing, you've had to have sent the vibration that created it. I know you're still not on board with that. So let me tell you what happens. There's three words in our vocabulary that when we use them, it causes us to give attention to what I don't want. And when I give attention to something that I don't want, I just gave it attention. And when I give it attention, it causes me to send the vibration. When I send the vibration, the law of attraction is matching the vibration that I'm sending. And now I just got more of what I said I didn't want. Whenever I, here's the three words. These three words are causing us to give attention to what we don't want. So let me just dissect this a little bit. If you and I sat here and talked about, a great speaking gig and there was, 1,000 people in the room and, would we be giving that subject attention, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And when we give it attention, that's really like energy. That's really like a vibration. So now you and I are sending the vibration of the way we want it to be. And law of attraction doesn't know whether it's the way it is or the way we want it to be or whether we're daydreaming or pretending or memorizing or making a collage or daydreaming or praying. It doesn't know any of that stuff. It's just matching the vibration that we're sending when we're talking about it and giving it attention. So don't you think we should probably play a little bit more and pretend a little bit more and daydream a little bit more and complain a little bit less? Because right now the obedient law of attraction is eavesdropping on all of our vibrations, and now it's unfolding and orchestrating and matching what we gave our vibration to. And then we point at it and say, why am I attracting that? The answer is simple. It's five words. You get what you vibrate, period. You don't always get what you want, but you always get what you vibrate. So I'm going to give you some homework between now and the rest of your life. And matter of fact, my job is to brainwash you. So would it be okay if I washed your brain of the three words that weren't serving you, say yes or no?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, yes. So here's the three words. Well, first, wouldn't it be nice if they were French and you never used them? I never use those. Good, I'm lucky. But guess what? They're in 28 official languages right now. Everybody uses them. Most people use them 150 times before noon, and they wonder why their life sucks. Matter of fact, if somebody had a really bad morning and I said, let me scan for these three words of what you thought and said since 8 o'clock this morning and highlight them, I'd probably run out of highlighter. Most people use them 300, 400 times a day. Here's your homework, is to reduce and eliminate the uses of these three words. And the words are don't, not, and no. Now, the words aren't negative, but here's what happens. When I talk about what I don't want, I just gave it attention. And when I gave it attention, it causes me to send the vibration. And when I send the vibration, the obedient law of attraction unfolds and orchestrates and now brings me more of what I said I didn't want. It might not be you, but it could be somebody in our business that says, oh, I don't want this to be difficult. I don't want to get cheated with the price. I don't want to get screwed around. I don't want to play phone tag. I don't want this to hurt. So when I say I don't want this to be difficult, what did I give attention to? Difficult. I don't want to play phone tag. So you're not sure what I mean? Go on the internet and type in no sex and see what shows up. Go type in no football and see what shows up. When you go to the internet and type in what you want, guess what? You get what you said you didn't want. And in the vibrational world, when you talk about what you don't want, you just gave attention to what you don't want. And then when that thing shows up that you don't want, you point at it and say, why am I getting more of that? I've been saying all week I didn't want to have that. I know that you know that we've all said that at one point. That's exactly what I didn't want. I've been saying all week I didn't want that. Well, you know what? Give yourself a round of applause. That makes you a perfect manifester. The big news here today for you and everyone, you as the group, is that law of attraction doesn't know whether it's a positive or negative for you, or whether it's good or bad, or whether it's helpful or not helpful. It's obedient. So when you talk about what you don't want, that's like putting an internet vibrational request. And then when it shows up in your life, you can look at it and say, "Woo, that's here because of me." Mm-hmm. You do it when you get a good parking space, don't you? You'll point at it and say, "Hey, look at me. That parking space is because of me. I attracted that. I've got a parking angel. Parking always comes easy to me." Y'all know who I'm talking about, one of the people that brag about those kind of attractions. But what happens when it's something negative? What do they say? "Oh, why is this happening to me? Why is my life falling apart?" If not today, very soon, ideally, you would say, when you see something that you like, that you attract it, you can point at it and say, "Hey, look at me. That's here because of me. I love my vibes. My vibes attracted that." And then when something negative shows up, you can stand back and point at it and say, "Hey, look at me. My vibes attracted that." You don't have to like it, but you have to own it. And said, "What was I doing that caused me to send the vibration of that?" And here's what's really important. Because I attract negative things too, not a lot, but I'm trained to how to ping them away. It's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. So if I attract something negative, you know, the old Michael 20 years ago would email everybody in my life and probably do a teleclass on it, why my life sucks, right? And now I didn't like that, what would I like instead? Like, I can pivot really fast, I can shift, I can reset my vibe really fast. So I want to add to your homework. The three words to eliminate from your vocabulary are the words don't, not, and no. Well, how do you do that? Here's the reset sentence. If you want to, no, don't write this down yet. If you want, I just used the word don't. Now the police are going to be out after me. If you want to change your results, you need to change your vibration. I'll say it again. If you want to change your results, you need to change your vibration. The only way, how many ways? The only way to get a different result is to have a different vibration. So when people are trying to figure out how to change the results they're getting, guess what? You don't have to figure out how to change the results. You got to figure out how to change the vibration. So where did the vibration come from to start with? Well, it came from your words and your thoughts. So instead of changing the vibration, I need to back up and say, what caused me to have the vibration about that? Oh, that's the story I tell myself. That's what I keep using the words don't, not, and no. And now I go back and I go from the words don't, not, and no, and I ask myself this question, write this down, please. So what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it sounds really easy. Let's try it. Don't forget, and a little voice goes in your head, "Oh, Michael Loggia said don't use the word don't, not, and no, and when you do, ask yourself, so what do you want?" So if I say don't forget, what do I want? Remember, did you ever read this? This is not a scam. What's the first thing that comes to your head? Delete. Don't be disappointed by the low price. No, sorry, don't be fooled by the low price. Don't hesitate to contact me. We will not be undersold. I don't want to play phone tag. So what do you want? I want to get them right away. Don't forget your homework. So what do you want? Remember your homework. I don't want to work for people that don't treat me fair, so what do you want? I want to work with people that treat me fair. You see, well, here's the magic. This is the magic part that happens. It's the vibrational shift. When I go from what I don't want to what I do want, the words change. And when the words change, the vibration changes. And here's the best news of all. You can only hold one vibration at a time. So now you're talking about the way you want your business to be, and the way you want the phone calls to be, and the way you want the seminar to go, and the way you want the publicity to go, and the way you want your book to go. And now you're talking about the way you want it to be, and that's causing you to send the vibration of the way you want it to be, and the obedient law of attraction is responding and unfolding to the way you said you wanted it to be or not the wanted it to be, and now you start to get results that are in alignment to that. And now you start to notice people and get different phone calls and emails, and somebody calls you out of the blue, or you think it's fate or karma or coincidence. Guess what? All of those words are used to describe evidence of law of attraction. So when you say, "This is such a coincidence," yes, it is. It's evidence of law of attraction. Or it was fate or karma or meant to be or everything's falling into place. That's true. They are. That is evidence of law of attraction.
You know, Michael, there's two things that come to mind. Like, one is, I love how passionate you are about what you write about. You know, I think if you've got a lesson there for sure, and we all need to be reminded of that one daily. But I love how you have such energy for your topic. You know, I think that right there, the vibrations are going out that says, I believe in this, you know, this works. I believe in it.
Yes.
And I think that if there's, you know, one thing that we should catch ourselves on is not bringing energy to our topic. You know, people do want to get energy from us. They maybe don't want to buy something called motivational, but at the end of the day, there should be something motivational about what we do, even if we're teaching accounting skills, because we're asking people to change.
Well, here's my solution for that, and I do it really well. It's called intimacy. And intimacy, I'd like you to write these three words down. Intimacy means into hyphen me hyphen C, S-E-E. I'm very intimate in my seminars. I talk about my failures. I talk about my successes. I talk about my family history. I talk about my body size. And the more intimate I am, the more, in other words, the more I let people into me. That's what into me see means. And boy, does rapport ever build fast, and trust builds fast. So I'm not at the front of the room pretending that I never attract negative things, and that I never use the, like, I'm not saying, this is just for you, I'm perfect already.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about attracting negative things. I talk about experiences at the airport and make fun of myself that I end up sitting beside the person, you know, or whatever it was, you know, and I say, it was a perfect match. So intimacy builds rapport and relationship and trust with your audience. And that's where you get passionate about it. You're not reading from a textbook. You're telling your own story.
It's so good. It's so good. Michael, I want to invite people at this point, if they've got any questions, to raise their hand.
Okay, good.
And I'm gonna, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's good timing for that.
But what you need to do, folks, is you need to push *2 on your telephone, and then that'll raise your hand. And then we'd love to have you on the call so you can get on. So I've got one person here from Ottawa that your phone number ends with 5878. You can just say hi and introduce yourself and ask Michael the question. Hang on a sec. I did something wrong. There you go. 5878. Okay. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. What's your name?
Oh, wonderful. It's Laura Booker from Ottawa, Canada.
Hey, Laura. Welcome. It's Michael. And what's your question?
My question is, well, Michael, I actually saw you here in Ottawa, I don't know, two, three years ago, I think, the Small Business Association brought you in.
Oh, I think that was like 7 years ago, but that's okay.
Well, I've only lived here for six, so it's at least within the last 6 years.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, so,
and
you know my style.
Yes, I know your style. I've seen you on stage and everything. My question is with regards to your public seminars that you get other people to put on for you.
Yeah.
I remember being in the background and watching that association work their butt off for you, and that room was packed solid.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could share your business model around that and how you leverage other people to bring you in.
Well, I'm fortunate that I have a fan base. So when I say that I'm coming to a city, I'm really tight with my people on my fans on my fan page. You know, I can literally go to any city and I would know names of people that I know on Facebook that aren't just names to me. I mean, I read comments. I engage my fans tremendously. I know their names and so on. So when I'm going to a city, they know I'm coming, and they'll say, hey, I'd love to come to your seminar. And my seminar is cheap. It's always $99. So it's like, you know what, I could really use your help. I'm coming to New York. I have like 8 people committed to being there, and they're also committed to help promote it. I have never spent money on advertising, and I don't even have a business card. If you do see an ad of mine, that was some kind of trade that I've done, but I rarely, I'm thinking of a time I did spend on a local paper, but I rarely spend money on advertising. It's all through Facebook, and it's all through my fan base, and I have a nice, large e-zine by city. And the word spreads, so.
Yeah.
And usually
so
I.
You
and usually
it by
what
word
I,
of mouth, basically.
Yes, and then I always go early. Like when I go to New York, my program is really Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going early to speak to a couple groups to help feed them into my Saturday program. So. It doesn't matter how many people are registered when I get there, because everything changes after I've been in the energy. And, you know, in New York, a fan wrote me, said, oh, I said that you're going to be in New York on the 23rd, 24th, 25th. We have an 800-person network marketing meeting on Tuesday. We don't have a budget. Will you come speak to that? You know what my answer to that is? Abso-friggin-lutely, because I have a $99 program on Sunday. My conversion rate is high, and because I'm a trainer, right? So I train. I'm going to go do a one-hour free presentation. You know what I'm going to teach them? I'm going to teach them all about the don't, nots, and no's, and so what do you want? Do you think that's going to be helpful for them? Yes. Are they going to remember my voice in their head forever? Yes. And guess what? They're all going to leave with a nice little glossy postcard about registering for on Saturday for part two, because they just got part one. Even though they feel fulfilled and like they had a good meal, there's still more they can learn. And guess what? It's only $99. So my strategy is to get maybe 400 people in at $99, and out of the 400 people, 50 of them are going to buy my membership, which is $200 a year. So now I just made more money there. So here's my model. Lower the price to more people, and then sell something else that's a lower price and something else that's a lower price.
That's good.
And one last question to that. The eight people in this particular city that you happen to go to that are going to bring the people together for you for the seminar, are they benefiting financially in any way? Or they do
sometimes
it,
they are. You know, right now I'm negotiating to go to Los Angeles with this radio host. Him and his wife are radio hosts. So we'll go 50-50 after expenses. But, you know, here's what we negotiated so far. $99 tickets, 300 people, that's $30,000. And out of the $30,000, we pay for my flight to Los Angeles and my hotel and the room rental. I have zero overhead. I don't use overheads or flip charts or computers. You saw my work, right? And there's hardly any expenses except a mic, and we split the profit down the middle. So I could go to Los Angeles, and they're going to do all the work because they have a radio show. So they need to, you know, they need to get compensated with what they bring, and I just show up. And now out of the 300 people, 30 of them or 40 of them are going to buy my $200 membership. So that's why I say yes when people ask me to go somewhere.
Okay.
Thank you,
Michael. Hey, Laura. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Laura. I'm going to go to Guelph, Ontario now. The phone number ends with 3776. So if you could just say hi and give us your name.
Hi, it's Sylvia.
Hey, Sylvia. You know what's so refreshing is to have all this Canadian people on the line. I'm so used to, you know, not being Canadian, so I feel like we're all home. Go ahead.
One of my biggest challenges with the law of attraction, and I totally agree, I'm put out what I create and so on. When I get in fear, and so then I'm vibrating a fear vibration, and so then I'm blocking things from coming to me. How do I shift?
Right. Well, there's a couple ways. Fear is always something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
You don't think of something in the past and it generates fear. It could generate discomfort, but not fear. So you need some little mantras. So little mantras to talk, because right now you've talked yourself into the fear. Then I need to talk yourself out of the fear. So whatever the fear might be. Two things. I would definitely do this. Go to YouTube and type in the words EFT and fear. EFT, the letters emotion, stands for Emotional Freedom Technique and Fear. And there'll be 100 videos out there on how to do this called tapping process where you can eliminate the charge and the negative emotion for that. It's very important. I like how you know it's what's stopping you from manifesting. The only thing that stops manifestation of what we desire is always negative vibration, and you know what's causing it. So that's now you know what your job isn't to desire more, right? Your job is to get rid of the block that's stopping it, and you pinned it.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
And in my book, there's a section called Allowing, and the allowing is where you get rid of doubt. And I have processes that help you remove doubt. And all my work is all about words. So if there's words or things that you would ask and say that would help shift any doubt or fear that you have about that. So check it out.
Nice.
It's in the allowing.
Thanks, Sylvia. Hey, Michael, we've got a couple of questions typed in. The first is from Ellie in Toronto, and she's asking, is the law of attraction similar to self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, a self-fulfilling prophecy means that when I say something to myself, that I'll attract it. So I would say, yes, self-fulfilling prophecy would be evidence of the law of attraction. However, a lot of people would use an affirmation. They would say, my business is booming. I love my body. Right? Are they positive affirmations, yes or no? Yes. But guess what? They don't send a positive vibration. So here's the deal. Say we're all trainers and speakers, and well, we just started the year, and you look up at your wall, and it says this, your little affirmation board. My 2012 is book solid. Is that a positive sentence? You bet it is. How will that make some people feel when they read, my 2012 is book solid? Will everybody get excited about that?
Well, absolutely.
No.
Well, it's a lot better than my calendar's empty.
That's right. It's a lie. A little voice says, well, it's not book solid. You don't have one booking until October. So when you can't lie to yourself. Your unconscious mind knows the difference. There's a little voice that says, well, that's not true. You know, in my book, I have a picture of me standing in front of the bathroom mirror, and I was quite heavy, over 300 pounds, and my affirmation said, I have a happy, slender body. Well, guess what? When you can't see your feet and you look in the mirror and say, I have a happy, slender body, it doesn't feel very good. So now I'm having a positive affirmation that's sending a negative vibration. I'll say it again. A positive affirmation can send a negative vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tell yourself something that isn't true to you, it causes you to send that negative vibration. And again, in my book, because it's a how-to book, has a section, well, how do I reword those? How do I language them? Because it's all about the words. You don't have to visualize. You don't have to make macaroni collages. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do affirmations. You decide what your method's going to be to give something attention. I like to talk about it every morning with my hiking buddy. We're always talking about, oh, guess what I attracted yesterday. We're always celebrating what we attracted the day before. And I'm always preceding, that's S-E-E-D-I-N-D, I'm always preceding the day. I preceded this call today. On my walk this morning, I said, so here's how I'd like this to happen. I said, oh, I like it when the line is really, really clear and everybody's coming prompt, and I like that people are going to come live and be able to chat with them, and I love that I'm going to be able to talk about different things, that there's no agenda or that it's all going to be free-flowing. I just kind of talked about it. Some people would say, oh, I'm really nervous about that teleclass today. I hope I don't screw up. I hope I say the right things. Well, guess what? You get what you vibrate.
Nice. Thank you. I don't know what I'm going to do with my macrame collage now, but that was a great answer.
Thanks.
Hey,
well, you
Dave Rodwell.
You can keep your macrame or macaroni collage as long as it feels good. But if you look at your vision board and now you're crying your eyes out because you don't have the thing that you said you want, guess what? Get rid of it.
Get rid of it, exactly.
This is an important sentence. Everybody needs to hear it and understand it. Write it. Stop the car. Law of attraction responds to how you feel about what you say and think.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. Law of attraction responds to how you say about what you say about. Law of attraction responds to how you feel about what you say and think. And in a live seminar, they all repeat that back twice, loud.
And it's so true, right? So, in your example, Michael, and you're talking about looking at the calendar and saying, my calendar's full, my calendar's full. If in the back of your mind you're saying, well, no, it's not, you're not going to feel good about what you're saying. So there's this sort of disconnect, right? It's not congruent.
That's right. Well, it's a perfect word. Here's another something I want people to hear. The words aren't congruent with the feelings. The words are positive, but they're not congruent with, so now you have a negative vibration, but a positive affirmation. But you know what? My hunch is that you'd like to know how to correct this. I'll tell everybody what it is. Here's the sentence to use. I'm in the process of attracting my ideal blank. I'm in the process of attracting my ideal speaking year. I'm in the process of attracting my ideal gig. I'm in the process of attracting an ideal sales call. I'm in the process of attracting more publicity. I'm in the process of attracting more helpful people. I'm in the process of attracting more referrals. I'm in the process of attracting more sales. And then I know people are saying, well, doesn't that mean you're always going to be in the process? You know what it means? Yes, you're always going to be in the process. Even when you get it done, even when you get the things that you say you want, you're going to want something bigger and better and more. So you're always in the process. Even when you get that thing that you say you want, you try it on, you have it for a while, and then you want something bigger and better and more. So you are always in the process. And here's why this sentence works, because it is true. So based on what you understand, Hugh, about vibrations and how law of attraction is responding to it and how it's all about what I give attention to, is this true?
Mm-hmm.
in this sentence, am I giving attention to some to having a seminar? It's like, I'm in the process of attracting a massive amount of people to my Hong Kong seminar. I love knowing that law of attraction is unfolding and orchestrating whatever needs to happen to bring the ideal contact and resources and articles and promotions or whatever needs to happen to have a full room in the Hong Kong seminar. In that very moment, did I just give that attention, energy, and focus? Yes. So that means I sent the matching vibration. Yes. So does that mean it's a true? Am I in the process of attracting it? Yes. Because I just talked about it, and when I talked about it, it set the energy in motion. And when the energy gets set in motion, law of attraction responds and starts to unfold and orchestrate to bring me more of what I said I wanted.
Nice. Let's leverage off of that. And Dave Rodwell has a question. Any tips for dealing with negative people? So I'm in the process of attracting my ideal. Probably is not going to work with a negative person. So
no,
we all have those in their lives. So what's the trick there?
Okay, well, it's not a trick, and there's a couple of techniques that I have. The first one, I want everyone to remember this and write it down. Stop the car. People will treat me the way I allow them to. I'll say it again. People will treat me the way I allow them to. And here's the other thing you need to know and remember. Negative people are always talking about what they don't want. Listen. Just listen in. They're always talking about what they don't like and what they don't want. And you have my permission to ask them what oh-so-famous question. So what would you like? Well, that sounds pretty crappy that you're experiencing that. What would you like instead? You have the right, just like you have the right to be in a non-smoking room, you have the right to be in a non-vibrational negative room. And you have the right to control the vibes in your home and in your car and in your workplace by saying, so what would you like instead? And two things will happen. You'll tick them off so much they'll never talk to you again. That's a bonus. Or the other thing is you'll have trained them how to treat you. And now when they come to you in the future, you're going to be training them that they can't talk about what they don't want. Will they find somebody else to talk to negative about with? Yes. They'll call 1-800-MY-OTHER-FRIENDS and be negative with them. But you've trained them how to treat you. It's a process as an exercise, and be gentle when you ask them, so what do you want?
Nice. I've got one more question, I think, then we're going to go back to the program here. And this is from Pam in Vancouver. She says, my speaking business vibrations are good and positive, but I think they would feel better if they were systemized or formalized. Is there a template or system that could coordinate my vibrations so putting seminars, books, et cetera, together has a better flow? I think what she's looking for is maybe a habit or a process that she could repeat. It sounds like because of she's, you know, producing, you know, seminars, books. She's got all
right.
These things she's
okay.
Producing.
Now, here's the thing. Every time you're offered to do a seminar, you're reaching into the template of your vibration around seminars. It's like, oh, here's a call. Someone wants me to come to a seminar. So we reach into our vibrational suitcase or file folders, and we say, what's my vibration around seminars? Now, the best way to set the vibration, because you want it, that's what you want to attract, is to remember a seminar that you liked. And not the one, so, oh, you know what? I love the one that I did in Kitchener. That was so awesome. I had 300 people show up. I had tons of volunteers. I love that whole experience. And now I'm bragging and I'm going on and on and on about that Kitchener seminar and how great it was and how much media I got. And now Law of Attraction is eavesdropping, and now I'm setting up a new blueprint about my vibration about seminars. Oh, then I might think about that one that I did in Perth, Australia that was a disaster. It really was. And if I talked about that too long, now I'm sending the vibration. So guess what? Law of Attraction doesn't remember that I had a good seminar, the last four of them. It's only picking up on the vibration. So I need to be really clear about what am I giving attention to. I'm giving attention to the successful ones that I had. And if you have clients and you have file folders, and when you see somebody's name and it causes you to send a negative vibration, turn the file folder around and don't look at it. Be selfish about your vibration. It's the only thing you need to look after. Selfish equals self-care. Be selfish enough to care about that vibration.
Nice. Well, you know, I think in the industry that we're in, whether you're, you know, a seminar leader or facilitator or coach or consultant or speaker, I do think we do need to take care of ourselves. You know, we really don't usually have a support team. We don't usually have a choir that's going to be there at the office when we come in to say, wow, you're doing great. So I think that these strategies are so important, because certainly our clients expect us to be on when they call, or even when they email, they expect us to be on. And so I think where we're putting our attention, what words we're using, how we deal with, you know, the energy vampires in our life is pretty critical. So I think these strategies are so important for us to be using and practicing.
Yes. Like for me, when I would travel by myself after a seminar, and I could do seminars for 1,000 people. I was in Malaysia. I did 28 seminars in 30 days. 28 seminars, and I have a team there. Sometimes they were only an hour long. We'd go to, you know, we'd do a breakfast meeting, a lunch meeting. And after the seminar, I'd be by myself. They'd take me back to the hotel. And the first year I went there, that would be contrast for me. I didn't like that. I said, so you know what I'd like? I'd like us to hang out more. So, and they said, oh, we'd love that. And so now I go, and now we do half tourist and we do half seminar. So, and before they would drop me off at the seminar, I just worked with 1,000 people, and now I'm in the room watching reruns of something on TV, and it's like, okay, I don't like this. So if I don't like it, I fix it. So nice. Now we got the perfect model. When I go to Malaysia, because we're making lots of money between my team and their team, that's their focus. They drop everything while I'm there, and they chauffeur me, and they pick me up, and they take me shopping, and they take me to the dry. You know, it's like they're looking after me for 30. I'm working 28 seminars in 30 days. I need help. And only Emmy on water too.
I want M&Ms in my room. Hey, Michael, I just want to, this is brilliant. I want to take, we've got a few minutes left. I want to take the attention back, if we could, to the business side of your enterprise. You know, you've done, so much has happened in, man, just really 8 years. Going on now 9 years. So if you could, like, what are some of the things that, if you're with an audience of you know, aspiring authors or seminar leaders or even networkers, what do you think, you know, you would say are the things you're most proud that you did that moved your business forward?
Oh, I love that question. My integrity. I say yes when I mean yes. I say no when I mean no. And I always do what I say I'm going to do, period. So that for sure. I always give value. When I do these one-hour presentations, it's not just an introductory presentation to make you come take the $99 seminar. It's a standalone feel-good. If you guys don't go further and read my book after this call, do you think you've got enough today to help you practice law of attraction deliberately? You bet. So I give enough away so people say, I really like him. I'm vulnerable. I'm intimate with them, and I connect with them really well. And then they want to be part of me. I raise my hand and say, who wants to take me home? I have, you know, and there's parts, you know, here's another little trick, and I taught it to another speaker the other day, so maybe this would be a nice way to close. And sometimes, because I'm very funny in my seminars, and I have multiple voices, I have about 4 women voices, one of them my mother, and then I have my dad's, I have lots of voices, I have a teenage girl voice, I'm very funny, I have a huge balance of male and female energy, so everybody already likes me, like I'm not too dominant and I'm not too feminine, but right in the middle, so it helps me connect with men, it helps me connect with the women. I have multiple voices, and every time I go to do the voice, I get scared, and I thought, am I going to do that voice? But if the audience is really laughing, I'll do it, but sometimes I'm a little nervous, and then a little voice says, it's time to be the big Michael. So there's a little Michael and there's a big Michael. And the little Michael is the one that's scared. And the big Michael says, no, you can do it. You've done it before, and it's part of your program. And they'll laugh at that. So I taught my friend this week, and he was in the same situation. And I taught him I said, there's the big David and the little David. So just get into your big David. Even stand up straight and say, okay, I'm the big Michael right now. And then sometimes I'm even acting when I do that. I take myself out of, and I become an actor on stage. I become a peacock on stage. It's like somebody plugged me with some loonies and toonies in the back, and I'm gone. But before that, I'm at the back of the room. I have people come up and ask me where the washrooms are. Excuse me, can you tell? I look like hotel staff. Can you tell me where the washrooms are? Or someone said, can you get me a coffee? Thanks. So before the seminar, I don't have a lot of people around me. I don't have an entourage. Right. My sister works full-time with me, so She lives in New Brunswick. I live in Victoria. Sometimes she meets me in the city. Sometimes she brings my mother. So the people are at the back of the room, and I'm just standing off. I love meeting people and greeting people when they come in and so on. But
nice.
Get on stage, boy, everything's different.
Nice. And, you know, I love what you said there around integrity and always doing what you say, you know, you're going to do, which to me also means that you won't take on things that you can't deliver on.
That's
which
right.
I think is so important in this business. You know, I can't remember how people normally phrase it, but it's, you know, basically we're as good as the last event. And I think
yeah.
that people have long memories when it comes to not delivering. Okay,
yeah.
So just 1 minute before we go, Michael,
yeah.
mistakes.
Oh, I have
don't
two.
Want to do it again. Like what? You know, it's been 9 years. There's probably been a few things that didn't go where you wanted.
Well, not particular in like the seminar world, because I, you know, after the seminar, I always ask myself this question. What three things did I do well, and what three things could I do differently?
Nice.
Now, whether I do that over a glass of wine with my sister or so, that's kind of my wrap-up. So not that part, but bigger stuff. One big lesson is don't lend money to people that don't have money.
Hmm.
Don't
okay.
lend money to people that don't have money. And the other one is hire experts.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Hire experts. Have experts on your team.
Nice. Nice. Michael, this has been fantastic. I mean, I can't believe an hour's flown by. First of all, I want to thank you, Michael Losier, for being on the call. I know you're a super busy guy. Where can people go to learn more about what you're up to?
Okay, well, I have like a landing page that shows all my books, my Fulfillment Needs book, Law of Attraction. I have a free video series called Wake Up with Michael. You get a video every day for 5 days that gives you a Law of Attraction tool and tip that you can use. The website to go to is michaellosier.com. And my last name is spelled Losier. And certainly sign up for wakeupwithmichael.com, and you can receive a video every day for 5 days, which is a tool or tip on how to apply Law of Attraction deliberately to your life.
I watched my Wake Up with Michael this morning.
Oh, did you? Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm on video, too.
Oh, nice.
It's great. It's a fun way to start the day. So that's a great gift. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So, Michael, thank you for being on the call.
You're welcome. It
I
was a delight. It was fun for me. It
Big
was nice
thank
to
Sorry?
Have Canadian folks in my
isn't
energy
it,
on the call.
Isn't that, yeah, isn't it great? And great to see the questions coming in. A couple of things for the folks that are on the call. Again, remember that these are archived. And so if you log into your CAPS website, CanadianSpeakers.org, you'll see on the left-hand side a link to business webinars, and you can go and listen to my interviews with Ford Sakes and Clint Greenleaf and all sorts of really cool people. Martin Perlmutter from Speaker Spotlight was one of the more recent ones. Clint Greenleaf. And they're just great educational ones. I mean, I really recommend you download them and take them with you as you travel. Big thanks to Anthony Nijme in our Toronto office for making all of this actually work. And coming up March the 6th will be our next interview. We've got a number of people in the hopper, but we don't have anybody secured for that one. But March 6th, there will be an interview. April the 16th, Michael Port will be on, who, of course, is the 4 times New York Times bestseller. His first book is called Book Yourself Solid. Michael Port will be on April the 16th. So you can check the new calendar, which is on the CAPS website, for updates on that. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. And go out there and have a great day. Thanks again, Michael.
Okay, cheers.
The conference is now complete.